I'm going to jump right into the word, and I'm going to tag a bit on what Petri shared last week on worship. And so we did all of that right now, and for some of us that's par for the course and it's pretty stock standard, and for other people it might be new, it might even be weird. But as I've said, and as Petri said last week, worship is something that comes from the heart. It's an exchange that we have, a moment of exchange that we have with God, and it needs to be that moment of exchange. And if there's something bugging in the heart, it's not that easy to worship the Lord. And so I want to tag on that, because I myself, this last while, have been just challenged to go low. Who likes to be humble? Anybody? All three of you guys, we'll meet for tea afterwards. But it's not always that easy to go low. And yet worship, true worship, calls me to a place of going low. Now, this wasn't a topic that only sprouted this week, but to go prostrate before the Lord is something that has come up quite often. So in other words, to go lay on your face before the Lord. Now, there's many religions out there, and there's many false gods that call their people and tell them to bow down. But our God, I believe, does not tell us or drive us to a place where we go low or we bow down. But he works something on your inside. Because if you asked the thief 18 years ago, lay flat on your face or bow down, I would like be like, excuse me, but you didn't get brought your head. But yet the Lord works us in us this thing, and he sanctifies us through his Son and his word and the fellowship that we have. And we realize as we behold, as we see him, we cannot but bow our knee. It's an inside out job. It's not something somebody tells you, hey, get down. No, this is not the military, it's family, and the Lord works it on the inside. And so my worship was to go prostrate before the Lord, to actually just go low, bow down. And here's the other thing, you can go low before the Lord, you can lay on your face, but if your heart is not low, it means nothing. Or you can be standing up, but you've got a lowly position in your heart before the Lord. And you know, some battles, I believe, can only be won on your face. Some battles can only be won on your face. The world will tell you a different story. Stand your mind, stand up. But the Lord calls us, and he shows us through Christ that even in laying down his life, the battle is won. Because why? Then God fights these battles. And true worship, if you go look at the Hebrew word for worship, also means to go prostrate. And so it means Monday we shared on that, and just on real worship. And these moments that sometimes we go through seasons where the safest place is to be flat on their face. Who likes to be flat on their face? Not the mountain bikers. Anybody else? Who likes to be flat on their face? Who finds it uncomfortable to go flat on their face before the Lord? I think the first time I might be uncomfortable, but it's to go before the Lord, because you're vulnerable there. You're in a position there where he needs to have your back. Because ultimately the other day I was laying on my face, preparing for Men's Monday, and the whole time I was thinking, my door's open and Mila can jump on my back. So I was worshipping and saying, Lord, I can't teach on this if I don't do it. So I'm laying on my floor and I'm just like, please don't let it jump on me. So I'm like in worship, out of worship type of thing, because that's a scary place to be if a toddler 4 years old jump on your back. But that's a safe space that we can take before the Lord. And I want to challenge us that some of the battles you might be facing can only be won in worship, can only be won with your face on the ground, because then he's strong. I want to invite us as a church to do so. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you that you speak through your word and your spirit, that man's faith will not be based on our words, but your spirit and power, Lord. Mark us with your truth. Mark us with your truth, Lord. Make us to be a people that are different, not to be different for different sake. Make us different to live eternally with you. To make a difference wherever we go, Lord, to be truly salt and light in this world, and to know you, Lord. Not to just know about you, but to know you. That we'll be worshippers that really know you, because we've been on our face before you. Not for other people, not for a show, but for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So from that place, The theme for this message was birth of the series. I think Stanley called it, I think, my pet doctrine the other night. But I forever in a day off my sabbatical wanted to teach on and dig deeper into the fear of the Lord. And so we're gonna look at some of that. But before we do that, we can go to the next one, because I want to ask you just a very simple question. If God had a treasure, would you want it? If God had a treasure, do you want it? Anybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
If God had a treasure, do you want it?
Yes.
You can go to the next slide. Thanks.
You're there, not there.
So if you could receive true wisdom, would you like to have that tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Okay. Great. That's... If you had the fountain of life in your backyard, would you say yes to that? Anybody?
Yes.
Great. Here's a good one. If you would be put in a position tomorrow that you lack nothing, who would like that? Who would like that? If I could say there's a promise that you can lack nothing, would you like that? Who would like a long life?
Yes.
Anybody?
No.
Lankere. It depends. So, some of us would like a long life. Who would like riches and honor? Please don't be religious now, please be honest. By a show of hands, who would like riches and honor?
Like you,
I see that now.
Empty up.
And then the last thing that's really, as a father, that you might not be a mother or father, but for those in the house that's mother and fathers, who would love something that is safe and secure for their children? Who would love to leave a legacy to their children? I would love to leave a legacy to my children. Now these are all, and there's much more, promises linked to, and you can go to the next slide, very simply linked to this, the fear of the Lord. If you truly have the fear of the Lord in your life, Scripture, not me, not Google, Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God promises you safety and security for your children. Not only this generation, but it says the next generation. More than money, we need to leave the fear of the Lord to the next generation. That will keep them much safer than anything else.
Amen.
That's maybe a topic we can go into on another day. If you want a long life, riches and honor, if you want to be safe and secure, the Word of God says you need to have the fear of the Lord. Don't worry, if you hear the word fear and bells are going off, and flags are going up, we're going to deal with it right now. But if you have the fear of the Lord in your life, the Word promises us all of those things, including the treasure of God. Who thinks that the treasure of God can be the fear of God? That sounds even contradictory to some people, I would think. But not only does it promise us that treasure, a long life, riches, honor, and a legacy for our children, He says that He will give us life and give life to those who truly fear Him. So here's the thing, if you take this series, it's probably going to be a mini-series, I'm not sure, there's so much stuff on this, but if you take this to heart, if you truly take the scriptures, I've got 7 pages of scriptures, I've meditated on them quite a while in my sabbatical and after that, and I've listened to countless sermons on that and expositions of the scriptures. But if you make it your own, and it becomes a reality in your life, and I'm not saying it is not yet, but for some of us we might have to grow in the fear of the Lord. If you make this your own, you'll have the treasure of God. It sounds like, what is this guy saying? But I believe through scripture and through testimony, we will see that it truly is. Isaiah 33:5, just so that you know, it comes from scripture, says in verse 6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Who needs stability in the home? It must stick with your eyes. Almost missing it. We often need stability in our home. We need wisdom. Here the Vatna. The fun callers were it says. But we all would love stability in our times. We'd love to have stability and strength and salvation. And then it comes. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. And what is a treasure? It's something that is where? In Chekish, Perak, Sal. Where do you find a treasure? It is hidden. If you look at the culture we live in, if you look at the world we live in, all of the people that surround you in the culture living by the fear of the Lord, the reverence and awe for God? No, obviously not. Hence, no stability, hence, no wisdom, hence, no strength or salvation. And so the thing is we say, no, I would like the treasure. That's not going to help. We need to become desperate. Desperate in the God way. Desperate for the things of God. Desperate for the truth of God. Desperate for the scriptures and these promises of God. As desperate as that, or as desperate as Maxine jumping over the pews a couple of weeks ago. And I want to stir our hearts, not emotion, but stir our hearts that we can become desperate. Because if God says something, it's hidden and it's valuable, and it's not for everybody, we need to sure be a people that want to go for that. Lord, we pray for the fear of the Lord and for works. So here's the thing, for a Christian, I want to say you're going to run into deep trouble if the fear of the Lord is not the foundation of your Christianity and doctrine. View the theology and it is not totally embedded in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, we have trouble. And God only gives it to those who take Him up on this seriously. St. Francis, somebody said the following, we must fear God out of love, not love Him out of fear. Read that again. We must fear God out of love. So love is first. He loved on us first. He saved us. Jesus paid. So it's this glorious place where you get born again as a little baby and then you start seeing, oh man, you're real. And you start seeing your life change and people loving on you because of the grace of God and things change in your life and you realize He loves me. And then you're like, but I'm safe here with Him. I'm safe here. In fact, His opinion is better than those around me and those that have hurt me. He is actually a safe space. I trust Him. And so the fear is cultivated. The fear of the Lord, the reverence for God is cultivated from love, not to love. We don't love Him because we fear Him. That is religion and it's bondage. We don't come in church and sit all quiet. Say, Amen, Ya Brood, worship a bit, go and tick the box. No, that is bondage. That is not the child running into his arms that we sang about. No, that child loves his father because his father loves him. And that child has the fear of his father and will run into his arms as we worship. Sounds like freedom to me. Sounds like safety to me. Sounds like a relationship to me. And it sounds like the fear of the Lord to me. And so we need to be marked by the fear of the Lord as a foundation to our life. So let's quickly look at the definition because that's important to understand what is this fear thing that this guy is talking about. Now the Hebrew word, if you go break that open, it refers to revere, to have reverence for, and to see. And here sometimes God is a holy fire. He's a consuming holy fire. That's kind of scary. He even kind of moved his back towards who was Moses because God is an all-consuming fire. I had the conversation with my kids today. I'm like, if you really see God face to face, it might go like, and Frida's like, Rachel? I'm like, I think so, yes. But He is a holy God. He has life Himself, like the thousand suns and more. But here's the thing. He wants relationship with you and me through Jesus Christ. So that fear is one to have reverence. In Afrikaans, it's ontzag. Sounds a bit like school, I don't know. But what is a good Afrikaans word for reverence? Respect. Get religious. Like it, come on. Help me. Nick, help me with the Afrikaans word. Please, Nick. Ontzag. What is it? It's ontzag there for God. Master.
Achten.
Achten. Ek hou daarvan. Dis 'n ware agting vir die. Now the English you go on there is to be in awe. Who's ever worship the Lord and have been in awe of Him? Anybody? Who's ever read scripture and then you're in awe? Who's ever had healing or deliverance and afterwards you go like, I'm just in awe of this good God. Who's been saved from crazy nonsense like me and go like, wow, I'm a new person. Yes, working out my salvation with fear driven, but I'm a new person. Wow, I'm in awe. And that is the thing that He does not demand, but that is the key and the trigger to real life. Long life, riches, honor, and the treasure of God. I want us to be a church that has the treasure of God. I want our homes to have the treasure of God. I want to leave a legacy that my kids have the real treasure, and that is the treasure of God, not the treasures of this world. but the treasure of God. Reverence, synonyms, there's worship, respect, admiration, and devotion. Here's the thing, that you'll only have reverence, which is the response to the revelation of God. Here's the thing, the fear of God cannot be pushed upon you. I can't say, hey, fear God. I can't do that. But in encountering Him, and in seeing Him, and in hearing Him, and in seeing He's doing something on my inside, and He is real, you cannot but go like, wow. Wow. And so you'll have to have that revelation of God. You have to know Him. And that alone can lead to the response that leads to reverence. So ask Him that you encounter that, so that you can have that response of reverence. So if you see Him, it leads ultimately to submissiveness. You want to lay down on your face. Because I know when I stand up and I do my own thing and I go about my own thing, what it leads to. And I've seen His love and His grace calling me back time and time and time again and fixing my inward makeup and fixing my broken life and lifting me up and cleaning me up and loving on me and using my life that is not worth much without Him. And then I cannot be but, Lord, I just want to be on my face in front of you. This is a good safe space. He won't put His foot on me. In fact, He'll probably come and lie next to me. Sometimes God is only found there where you love. He's only found, it's as if I can only sometimes hear Him when I'm low. And that's a good and safe space, and I want us to be marked by that. You absolutely value His opinion, His will, and His kingdom. Then let's quickly move on. Here's the thing is, if I lack the fear of the Lord, it's very simply mean I've probably not seen Him. And then I need to ask God, I want to see you. Oswald Chambers says the following. The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, remember now read reverence, awe, wow, relationship, connection. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you fear God, if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. So fear is a very obvious thing in your life, fearing this, fearing lack, fearing sickness, fearing Eskom, fearing South Africa, fearing Australia, I don't know what you fear. If you fear a lot of things, maybe there's a very simple answer. Lord, I need a treasure. God, I very simply need a treasure. Restore unto me the treasure that is the fear of the Lord, because that is a massive key in all of our lives. Now I said we need to deal with this word fear because it's got a very bad or negative connotation, yes? But in this sense, we know it's positive. It's a very special kind of fear. It's an adoration of awe. So what it is not, this fear is not the following. It is not natural fear. It is not the same as being, who's scared of snakes? Nadia, who's scared of snakes? Thank you. No, not really. But we've had this conversation about snakes and spiders. That's a very natural thing. Everybody will have that moment where they don't like it. Who is sometimes scared of the dog? Or scared of a dog. I've been bitten by a dog as I went for a run, and so when I run, I kind of run a bit further from a dog as I would with a snake or a spider. That's a very natural thing. I'm in fact myself and Frida, funny enough, we don't like heights that much. Not big on heights. I'm big on adrenaline things, not big on heights. And so that's a very natural thing. This is not a natural fear that I'm talking about, the fear of the Lord. Second thing is, it's not a demonic fear. Do you know that most fear that we receive via the thoughts that we have and the emotions that we have has a demonic source behind it? Do you know that? Do you know that fear is also demonic? And that fear can be driven out of a person? Lacker. Now we're getting real. And so this is not a demonic fear, obviously. It's of the Lord. It is of His Spirit. We know scripture that says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So you don't have to fear it again. You don't have to fear it anymore. Because fear has a way in your heart. So if my heart as a young boy gets broken, we have a tendency to heal up automatically. That's this fall for the course. That's what happens with us. And so you get hurt again, and it kind of happens. You get hurt to such a big degree that that thing struggles to heal up because you've suffered trauma. Something very bad has happened to you. And so what happens is fear, demonic fear, can now come and make home in a place of your heart. Doesn't sound nice, but this is the reality, biblically speaking. And when that happens, this usually comes with either rejection or whatever has happened into your life, then that would invite a couple of other people or other things, and you sit with a big mess at the end of the day because fear has gotten a hold of you. The word, however, says love drives out perfect fear. So we need the Lord just to come and work into my heart again so that fear, along with the lies of rejection, and then whatever I have been trying to use to compensate this pain and this issue, the Lord needs to love that out of my heart so that what? I can be healed up again. And so the fear of the Lord can be returned to that place. And so we are not talking about a demonic fear. It's not demonic forces that needs to be driven out. This fear is a good one. To fear is to have more faith in your antagonist than in Christ. The third thing is it's not the fear of man. This is actually where we want to go to. We'll probably touch on the fear of man next week. Who's ever heard of the fear of man? This is a massive topic. And I'm licking my lips for that. I really look forward to sharing that. There's so much in Scripture. Jesus, in fact, I believe, died to a big degree because of the fear of man. Can't go into it now, but we're going to touch on it. And the fourth thing is the fear of God is not being casual with God. Hey, Jesus! Yes. Who's it? We're not going to get it. He's a good father. He's a holy God. He's a friend, but he's also a roaring lion. Christ is a lion, the Alpha and the Omega. And so these contrasts, as this schizophrenic, but there's a reverence and an awe, and there's a fear needed. We do not get casual. And maybe in our culture, we cannot get casual with the Lord. So cannot get casual with the things of God. Casual with Christ, casual with his ways. We just kind of get casual with him, and that is not the fear of God. And God does not take lightly with that. Let's go to the next slide. Here's a story that, firstly, is because of great relationships, and may I quickly plant that seed there. Abraham had a great relationship with the Father, with Father God, and so there was a reverence that came from that revelation. He spent time. He had a good relationship with him. And because of that revelation, that was simply because Abram had encountered the Lord. So I'm going to take a biblical account, biblical story. We might lose power pretty shortly, but we'll probably be able to go on. I'm going to share a story from Scripture that you know. But this is a grounding word, I believe, that also brings us back to the casualty that we might be sensing now and again, when we become a bit blasé with the things of the Lord, where the Lord shows us what the fear of the Lord can also look like. This is not the only passage, but this is a very good one, just to set the stage and to be a people that knock for more of the treasure of the Lord. Let's quickly read together. After these things, God tested Abraham. Who of you likes to be tested? I don't like it. Because here's the thing with God, you hardly ever know it's a test. You kind of like later realize, oh, that was a test. I'm going to write it again, or praise God, by his grace I passed it. But we don't like to be tested, but here's the thing, God tests us to see, for us to see what is in our heart. God knows what is in your heart. He need not see the result of the test, he knows it. But sometimes we need to see in the test what the Lord shows us. After these things, God tested Abram and said to him, Abram, here I am, he answered, to see the beautiful relationship. They were on speaking terms, which is a good thing. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. And everybody went like, what? I want the treasure. The next verse. So Abraham got up early in the morning. Let's just stop there. So God says, hey, we know each other. He hears the Lord. We all go shouting, yes, we want the fear of the Lord. He says to him, hey, Abraham, that son, the son of promise I gave you, go offer him as a burnt sacrifice. What does he do? He phones a friend. He gets 12 accountability partners saying that we need to fast and take out a season to seek the Lord's heart and face about this matter. No, what does he do? He gets up the next morning. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. He gets up the next morning. So Abraham got up early. So God says to me, Abraham, leave your job. Follow me. I shouldn't get all prideful about it. I should say, yes, God. What an honor. God calls you to say, lay down the magazine or the chips or whatever the thing is that you are struggling with that is like Isaac. This is a place where we read and where we learn so much from the intimacy and the grace that there were between these two. So Abram got up there the next morning, saddled his donkey and took him, two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for the burnt offering and set out to go to the place that God had told him about. On the third day, 3 days, so he's been walking 3 days, I presume. That's pretty hardcore, with this knowledge in his heart. Not, you know, it's just here, you know, where he come, you know, it's the game, yeah. The third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. We all love to call him the father of faith. But check the faith. We all would love to, I would love to be a giant of faith. Giants of faith get tests with giants of tests. And then he said to his guys, the boy and I will go over there and worship. You see what he says? He's walking in obedience and he's saying, we're going to worship. God said, please kill your son. He says, we're going to go and worship. Then, well, come back and we'll come back to you. Abram took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the sacrificial knife. And the two is quite fitting for the dramatic moment we're in, I would presume. He took the fire and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abram and said, Father, he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? He's kind of doing his math now. And he's like, something's wrong, Dad. Where's the offering? Abram answered him, God himself will provide. The lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked together. When they arrived at the place that God had told them about, Abram built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on the top of the wood. Pretty hardcore. Then Abram, reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son, father of faith. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abram, Abram. He replied, here I am. Then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. So even when we say, Lord, I want to fear you, I'm not saying we're going to be tested like that. Please take a deep breath. But it does bring in context what it means to fear the Lord. Do not lay a hand on him, for I know you fear the Lord, you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from him. Abram looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abram named that place, the Lord will provide. So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Maybe the Holy Spirit in this moment is asking you, what is your son? What is the Isaac of your heart? What is the Isaac of your heart that the Lord may in this season or the next ask for you? What is the test that may come over your path and mine? Abram looked and saw the ram, as we said, the Lord had provided. By myself I've sworn, this is the Lord's declaration, because you have done these things and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you. We want to bless, we wanted the riches, the honor, and the long life. Here it comes after the test. I want to bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the skies. And sometimes we read this stuff and we're like, yeah, I want that. Thank you, Lord. And the sand of the seashore, your offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. In other words, they will not be oppressed. None of us want our kids to be oppressed. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring, because you have obeyed my command. Here's the thing. We would love to have the treasure that is called the fear of God. But here's Abram. Abram was the father of faith, and he had relationship with the Lord. He saw God. He saw him. This was not a reverence that was pushed upon him by the law. This was one from intimacy and humility that was cultivated over time. He knew God, and he said, God will provide. Elsewhere it says that he he'd actually believed that he would kill his son of God and resurrect his son. That's how much he trusted the Lord. Now I want to say the Lord will not push you beyond what you can bear, or he will push you pretty far, I've seen, but he will not push you beyond what you can bear. Scripture also says, and so please, this might not speak about your earthly kids, but there's something in our hearts often that the Lord might test us on. The Isaacs of the heart. And there what needs to be more clearer than the Isaac is that, have I seen my God and do I fear him? Have I seen him, have I heard him, and do I fear him? Else we will take Isaac and nobody will ever hear your name again. So he had a revelation, he had great faith. So God obviously gives this thing to those who take it seriously. But a beautiful thing that I saw there in scriptures, the fear of the Lord, the true fear of the Lord, triggers the blessing and the promise. And I don't know where this sits in your life. And I don't know what the things are that you need to get in place. And by the way, we're not all going to get tested on these huge things. Scripture also provides for us conditions. It provides for us clear ways in which we can be a people of the fear of the Lord. We're going to quickly look at one before we close, and we're going to go into the rest of the series looking at more their stuff and Proverbs stuff in Psalms. But here we're going to quickly look at one thing that we can do from our side, and that is we can ask. You can say, Lord, please teach me. After the story of Abraham, who would like to say, Lord, I want the treasure and you may teach me? Anybody? Okay, great. That's good. We can still change the world. And so we can say, Lord, please teach me. So Psalm 34:11 says, come children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you to have this reverence and to know the Lord. And you'll see the illustration. I believe any illustration of the fear of the Lord is that closeness that we have with our Father, knowing that we are very small, but he is very big. And God is a God that carries you on his shoulders. That is the God we serve. That is the Father heart of the Lord we serve. But he is still hungry, and he expects that we listen when he calls. He still tests our hearts, but we need to become what? As children again. Here's the biggest opposition of the fear of the Lord. It's arrogance and pride. They cannot coexist. They cannot coexist. Arrogance and pride cannot coexist with the fear of God. It's impossible. You might think it's that, but it's not. If both of them cannot marry, they cannot spend time together. It's like light and darkness. And so the first thing that I can do is say, Lord, I want to be childlike in my heart. And then as children, we come and sit. And he says to us, come children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who delights in life? We're like, yes, that's us. We want life. We know that by now. Loving a long life and enjoying what is good. Yes, we want to have what is good and we want a long life. We've said that. But yes, the first thing that we can do. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. And then the second thing, turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it. So there's three things I note there. Four things. I need to ask, Lord, help me. I'm a sinner, I've got a flesh. We all need help. Lord, help me to walk in the thing called the treasure so that I can have those benefits and promises from relationship with you. But now from scripture, I see, Lord, three things. I need to be humble, childlike. And then, Lord, I need to watch my mouth. Lord, help me with my mouth. I need to turn when I see evil. I need to turn away, make good decisions, make godly decisions. And then lastly, Lord, help me to be a seeker of peace and to pursue that. That's doable, is it not? Is it doable?
Yes.
I believe so. Psalm 86:11 says the following. Teach me your ways, Yahweh, and I will live by your truth. Give me an undivided mind to hear your name, to fear your name. Apologies. And that's the fourth thing from our side that we can do. We can say, Lord, give me an undivided heart, an undivided mind. Who struggles with double-mindedness now and again? I do. Anybody? If you've got a flesh, you do. There's a battle. There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. But we can say, Lord, I want to know the fear of the Lord. I want to know the fear of your name. I want to have reverence for you and you alone. Lord. Help me to not have a divided mind, to be single-minded. And then lastly, In Ecclesiastes, you know, you can read all through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, that's about life and the highs and the depths and the lows of life and how to do life and wisdom, practical wisdom, and then a woe is me moment or tune, etc. But then the writer comes to this conclusion. He says they're right at the end of Ecclesiastes. The end of the matter. This is the end of the matter in other words. All has been heard. Everything has been heard under the sun. Everything. All things have been heard. Then he says, fear God. In other words, have respect. All reverence from the Lord through relationship. Know God. Make sure that you've seen him and understand him. Because your life depends upon it. And then it goes on to say, for this is the whole duty of man. And man there is everybody. Again, as this is not me, I did not make this up, but as eternity is written in the heart of man, so this is for all people of all times. What are you going to do with this thing? What are you going to do with this thing? Are you going to have a reverence and awe for the Lord? Are you going to be a person that pursues this great treasure? To listen to heed to have this relationship with him. The NIV, I like what it says. They're right there. For this is the duty of all of mankind. If you want to know what is the job of all of mankind, is to figure this thing out. What is life all about? Figure this out. Figure out the fear of the Lord. Figure out what is this thing called the reverence of God. What is this thing to see God and to know him? That is all of life depends on that. And you might walk out of here thinking, oh, quite interesting, and just go on with life like your own people said with respect to life. But I must say that this is gripped our heart again in realizing how important this foundation is and how wonky things can go and how sideways things can go if I do not have this in my life. And it should not be a hard, exuberant task for us to do if we very simply come low before him again. If we see there might be areas of lack in my life where, Lord, man, I don't have the fear of God in my life in this area, or I have none of the fear of the Lord in my life. And then I can just become childlike again and say, Lord, will you teach me? Will you teach me? Because ultimately we want the fruit of the treasure that is called the fear of God. And as I look at my three daughters, and sometimes I get a bit nervous, I want the next generation to, in love, through intimacy, and knowing and seeing him, to fear the Lord. If I leave them anything, I want to leave them a lot. I wouldn't mind. Make no mistake. Don't want to be a hypocrite. I wouldn't mind. But if there's one thing I would love to leave them is the fear of the Lord. If there's something on my tombstone, one day I guess it would be, Vater die Here gesê. And I think the undergirding reality of Vater die Here gesê is, have you feared God in this matter? Have you feared God in this matter? Have you known the Father in this matter? For from there flows real life. And only from there flows real life. Will you stand with me? Next week, we're going to look at the conditions for the fear of man. There's Jesus and the fear of man. That's a very nice one. This is an ad break, by the way. The blessings of the fear of man, you're going to want to tune into that one. We're going to look at the fear of God, although they're not the fear of man. We're going to look at the fear of man, which is a massive topic and really good. We're going to look at humility and the fear of God, and then lots of other scripture. Let's quickly close our eyes. Lord, thank you, Father God, that we don't want to compromise on the truth. We cannot compromise on the truth for any reason. We are also declaring we don't have the full truth, the full revelation of truth. We are a work in progress, being sanctified season in and season out. But as far as we can, we want to knock and seek and ask, and Lord, we want that hidden treasure, Lord, called the fear of God. Lord, will you grant us the grace? If this didn't speak to your heart, by all means, please don't respond. Take your time. But if this has spoken to your heart, if this has convicted you of something, then please, let's quickly take this moment and invite the Lord afresh to teach us. Lord, your word says clearly, come to me as children and ask, teach me about the fear of the Lord. To consider, God, and to consider His ways in all of our lives. And if you really simply want to say, Lord, teach me about the fear of the Lord, and that might be having a massive encounter. That might be for you conviction and discipline. That might be for you to be loved and to realize who you truly are and to be seen as a son or a daughter of God. I don't know what it means. It can be a bunch of good stuff. But if you want to say, Lord, teach me about the fear of God, just raise your hand. I want to just pray with you. Lord, thank you for these hands, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you know our hearts. And thank you, Father God, that you will work into every single one of these lives, the scriptures, your spirit, your truth, your humility, and your grace.
Amen.
Lord, mark this church. If ever there was a plea from my heart, mark me firstly, because I can't ask for anything unless I say yes. But I pray, mark us as a church with the fear of the Lord. Mark us as a church and as a people. And if you're not part of the church, don't worry. It's not applicable. You can say no in your heart. But as a church, Lord, in this season, mark us with the fear of the Lord. Because out of that flows only good stuff. From there flows only godly things. And from there, the next generation will be safe.
Amen.
Mark this church. Mark us as a people. And even those that are missing out tonight, mark us by the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Teach us, Lord, as we say yes to you. And Lord, we ask, Lord, please do not test us as severely as you tested Abraham. Please, we are in the new covenant dispensation, and you've given your son for real.
Amen.
So please don't test us too far.
Amen.
And so may we take home the gladness and the truth that we will be a people of treasure, the treasure of God, in Jesus' name.